Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. All this new early voting data, what does exactly mean? We dissect it piece by piece and dive deep into the data. We also talk about the Girl Scouts of America coming out and supporting Amy Coney Barrett and then deleting that tweet. What drove them to do that? We also talk about the extraordinary GDP number, 33.3% GDP growth. Open up the country, no more lockdowns. President Donald Trump is getting us back to where we were. We have an important election Tuesday. Thank you for supporting us and making our work possible. CharlieKirk.com/support. CharlieKirk.com/support. You can always email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. 33.1% GDP growth. And so much more. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
This is the most important election of our lifetime. Our values, our security, and our future are on the ballot. Every American deserves to have their voice heard and their vote counted. So visit yourvote2020.org to find your polling location. Get to the polls, cast your ballot. Visit yourvote2020.org because your voice, your values, your vote have never been more important. Paid for by America First Policies, Inc.
What gets you excited? Does meat get you excited? It should. In fact, I've heard people say that they enjoy steak more than a lot of other things that they enjoy in life. Let's put it that way. If steak is on your list of things that you enjoy, there's only one option. It is the lip-licking, salivating meat from Good Ranchers. It's that good. The T-bones, fillets, and more. And each item is wrapped individually to lock in that juicy American goodness. We got a box. This box is unbelievable. T-bones, fillets, steak. It was like that Oprah scene where everyone gets a car. It was like everyone got a steak in the office and everyone had the best meal that they had had that week. The rave of the meat was on. It was unbelievable. And so what are you waiting for? GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. I asked Good Ranchers, I said, I need to test out this product. And this box they sent us was unbelievable. They'll send it to your home. You guys can have Thanksgiving steak. You ever think of that before? Thanksgiving steak. What could be more American than that? Donald Trump, you're right. But beyond that, Good Ranchers Thanksgiving steak, T-bones, fillets, whatever you need. Don't waste money going to the store. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie.
I don't think we couldn't have gone any more west in the great state of Arizona. Usually we broadcast out of the beautiful studios in Phoenix, Arizona. But we took one day off. We were there with the President of the United States, and the rally, the enthusiasm, the energy was so invigorating, honestly. And it gave me hope for hopefully what will happen on Tuesday. It gave me a great deal of peace that so many people are involved in politics in our country. I got my start watching the rise of Barack Obama in the suburbs of Chicago. And I wasn't anti-Obama at the time. I wasn't pro-Obama. But just as if you cheered for the Chicago Bears or the Cubs, the White Sox or the Blackhawks, you did not say a bad word about Barack Obama running for the presidency in 2008 in the suburbs of Chicago. Everyone was excited to see Barack Obama, the hometown candidate, rise to prominence. Teachers wore Barack Obama shirts. There were Barack Obama stickers on lockers. And it was really interesting to see how many people were involved in the process. And of course, now looking back, I saw how awful the policies were that he put forward and how he divided our country racially. However, I thought to myself, will there ever be a Republican candidate that gets that many people involved in politics? We had the Tea Party wave in 2010. We had Mitt Romney in 2012, who had nowhere near the type of grassroots support that President Donald Trump enjoys and built And being in Bullhead City, Arizona, to see 15 or 20,000 people, as far as the eye can see, people that just wanted to get a glimpse of Air Force One landing, goes to show that there are people that want to take ownership of their country again. Those people would not have been there yesterday if they believed that the system is so broken that if they don't vote, if they don't do something, it means nothing. In a lot of different ways, the Trump movement is a rejection of political cynicism. Why would somebody show up to Bullhead City at 3 o'clock in the morning? There were plenty of those people. We talked to them. Wait in line in the blistering sun, stand for 6 or 7 hours in line to go get a small glimpse of a president on stage. Why would they do that? Because they feel as if they are part of a movement to reclaim their government. They feel as if they are part of something that is bigger than themselves. And that's a very healthy sign for a constitutional republic, or for some people would call it democracy. I'm really careful to use that word because I think it is overused and not understood at all whatsoever. But we do have a democratic means of electing leaders. And one thing that I thought that was very clear in the president's address, first of all, as he enters off of Air Force One, this was not my first rally. I've been to dozens, but this one was different. The president seemed to go out of his way to try and embody and personify positivity. This is a very important point. Everywhere we look on the political landscape, it is nothing but fear-mongering and negativity. We're going to have a long, dark winter, Joe Biden says. We have to shut down our country indefinitely. The message from Joe Biden and the Democrats wouldn't be one where people are dancing and excited to see a president. Instead, it feels as if when Joe Biden does his rallies, he's overseeing some form of a political style eulogy. So President Donald Trump, as he gets off Air Force One, excited, clapping, the audience is dancing alongside him. It is more clear that President Donald Trump represents almost an American summer versus a Biden dark winter. Joe Biden told us this. That's the remaining story for these 4 or 5 days before the election. My goodness, did that happen fast. It felt like we were just in July a couple hours ago, and here we are. On Tuesday, the future of our republic will be decided. Joe Biden wants us to enter into a dark winter, whereas Donald Trump wants to bring us back into an American summer, metaphorically, of course. And that was demonstrated today. Today, new numbers came out, which should have been headline news on the New York Times, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, everywhere. GDP, gross domestic product, hit 33%, 33.1% actually. It is the highest GDP growth of any GDP number in American history, nearly doubling the next highest GDP number in the history of America. And this was even higher than expected. And some economists are so blown away by this number that they feel comfortable that if President Donald Trump is able to win, that we might even have positive growth on this calendar year. That despite the lockdowns, despite the draconian measures, despite the one-size-fits-all centralized edicts from megalomaniac politicians, we actually might end 2020 better than when we started. That is incredible. And one thing that the activist media will not tell you, one thing that the activist media almost assuredly will not say in the coming days, is that how we handled this quarter and how we will handle the coming quarter is all but universal. I mean, that President Donald Trump's approach to reopen the American economy would not have been Joe Biden's approach. If Joe Biden were president of the United States, maybe we would have 2 to 3% GDP growth in this quarter. We would be afraid at home. We would be believing the fear-mongering lies. and hundreds of thousands of small businesses that were barely getting by would have been shuttered and destroyed for good. I equate this moment right now similar to post-World War II. After World War II, most of Europe was devastated, understandably. After World War I, World War II, endless bombings, the conquest of Europe by the evil Germans and the reclamation of that land by the Allied forces left Europe in basic shambles. And Europe had difficulty for decades climbing out of that economic condition that they were in. And America was in a much more advantageous and a much more competitive position. It's no different than where we are right now. Today, France and Germany have announced that they will lock down their economy completely and totally again, their whole country. This is anti-science. There is no science to show that lockdowns have any benefit in stopping the spread. And there is evidence to show that lockdowns actually contribute to depression, alcoholism, drug use, suicide, self-harm, businesses going under. All it does is temporarily prolong the inevitable. Joe Biden would take us the way of Macron and Merkel. Joe Biden would lock down the American economy again. And the media won't tell you this. They act as if what President Donald Trump is doing with the economy is agreed upon universal doctrine. Like every country is doing the same thing. In Ireland, you cannot go from county to county without a reason and a passport. They are regulating people going from county to county. We are frustrated with the lockdowns here in this country, and we should be, but we're actually the most open country in the world. Outside of one other country, China. Isn't it interesting how the Chinese Communist Party has been able to open their country so seamlessly and easily? How is it that China is all of a sudden closer to reopening fully than any other Western country? And a better question is, why is it that most European countries are tolerating that? Why is it that most European countries are allowing themselves to stay permanently and perpetually locked down? France and Germany are foolishly locking down their economy again. Macron and Merkel say they are going to have nationwide lockdowns for the second time. Meanwhile, Sweden remains perfectly and completely open. The strategy that they employed was mocked and ridiculed and attacked very early on. And now their economy is going to have a positive number for this quarter. And this Tuesday, we're going to have to make a decision. Our country is going to have to make a decision whether we want to go the way of Merkel and Macron, shut down our country again, and put America into an endless economic depression. It is safe to say that Joe Biden would be the economic depression candidate, raising taxes, increasing regulation. Now, mind you, the ruling class would do just fine. We would have another round of quantitative easing. Rates would go down to basically below zero. We might go to negative interest rates. And the 1% of the 1% in this country will always find a way to deploy their capital and their assets to benefit from any struggle that middle-class families might be experiencing. And the media will make it seem as if, oh, of course the economy goes back up. Of course, because we reopened. Trump doesn't deserve credit for that. Understand that Biden would still have this country perpetually locked down. Joe Biden would go the way of J.B. Pritzker. J.B. Pritzker, who now has said all Cook County restaurants must remain closed for indoor dining. Well, someone should tell J.B. Pritzker, who is the governor of Illinois, multi-billionaire trust fund kid from the Pritzker Hyatt fortune, He was born on third and thought he hit a triple. That it's kind of hard to eat outside in Chicago this time of year. It's a high of 40 today, I think, in Chicago. So basically, J.B. Pritzker, using a non-scientific approach, is shutting down all indoor dining for most of Cook County. I think he said you can have 25 people in your restaurant, which is a joke. And what does that mean for the Indian immigrants? What does that mean for the Mexican, Nicaraguan, Lithuanian immigrants that I grew up around in the suburbs of Chicago, who came to this country legally? They believed in the system. They put their entire life savings into a small deli, a bakery, a coffee shop. J.B. Pritzker, who's the governor of Illinois, is showing us what Joe Biden would do if he were elected president. Shut it all down. And Joe Biden told us this. If you think things are tough economically now, imagine if there was a nationwide lockdown, which is unconstitutional, by the way. But he would strong arm the governors to shut down again. Now, you might ask the question, why are they doing this? If it's not scientific, if it's not rooted in empiricism, if it's against reason, why are the Democrat governors doing this? Well, reason number one is they truly want to inflict the most amount of economic damage to hurt Donald Trump, no doubt. But reason number two is their goal, their agenda, is all about addicting people to government benefits. Their desired outcome is to expand the size, scope, scale, and influence of the government, state government included. What's a great way to get people onto government benefits? Crush private enterprise. Destroy entrepreneurs. And this Tuesday should really be a referendum that is so simple. Donald Trump wants to safely reopen the country. Joe Biden wants to recklessly close it down again. That's a winning message. And you want to know why Hispanics are going towards Donald Trump in record numbers? Hispanics are entrepreneurs. You look at the backbone of a lot of suburban Chicago. It is Hispanic entrepreneurs that have put all of their multi-generational life savings to just try and get by.
Look, this holiday season, more people will be mailing stuff than ever before. They're mailing things all over the place. That means the post office is going to be busy. It's going to be a circus. You don't have time for that. Stamps.com brings the post office and UPS shipping right to your computer. Mail and ship anything from the convenience of your home or office. With Stamps.com, anything you can do at the post office, you can do in just a few clicks. Plus, Stamps.com saves you money with deep discounts that you can't get at the post office. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Post Office and the UPS right to your computer. Stamps.com is a must-have for business. Whether you're a small office and sending out invoices or an online seller fulfilling orders, go to Stamps.com. It's Stamps.com. You get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and 40% off priority mail and 62% off UPS shipping rates. There's no risk with my promo code KIRK, K-I-R-K. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Kirk. That's Stamps.com. Enter Kirk. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
If you're watching this and you have grown upset at seeing the restaurants in your community go under, in Thousand Oaks, California, where my pastor leads Godspeak Thousand Oaks Calvary Chapel, I've been told that 65% of the businesses in Thousand Oaks will never reopen. 65%. But it's not just about the restaurant owners. It's about all of the auxiliary workers that are dependent on the restaurant industry, the food delivery industry, the busboys, the waiters, the minimum wage workers that are just trying to get enough income to get by. All of them are severely disenfranchised by these centralized lockdowns. We now see the difference. 33.3% GDP growth. If you elect President Donald Trump, our economy will be back on track by January, if not stronger. You elect Joe Biden, by the time he gets inaugurated, if they let him take it that far, the economy will be in ruin. People will start to retreat. They'll sell their securities and their equities. The Dow will collapse. People will start to migrate heavily to red states or out of the country. Business investment will plummet, but the ruling class will be just fine. They'll create hedges against that kind of market volatility. They'll reallocate their capital against the looming inflation crisis in our country. And it will be an American economic suicide, the likes of which we've never seen before. And I think that we as conservatives in years past, the Mitt Romney types, over fixated on the economy. I think that Mitt Romney made his entire pitch about the economic well-being of our country. And mind you, he was an incredible hypocrite because he was the one that was offshoring the jobs that he was trying to win the votes back in Eastern Ohio, in Hubbard, Ohio, in Macomb County in Michigan, or Mahoning County in Eastern Ohio, or in Western Pennsylvania. And Barack Obama did much better there because it was just generationally Democrat. That's where Donald Trump has changed things. However, I think that we overemphasized the economy with Mitt Romney. And I think we are underemphasizing the economy right now. We rightly have been talking about what does it mean to be an American? Who are we as a country? Challenging BLM Incorporated, pushing back against the radical racial insurrectionist movements in our country, rejecting the 1619 Project. However, some people vote as simply and as plainly as, how's my pocketbook and my bank account going to look come Christmas? And I think the more President Trump actually just bluntly and plainly says, look at this GDP number, 33.1%, the best GDP number in American history, and most other countries are going to be in a decades-long depression because of their lockdowns. So this presents a huge opportunity for our country. If we decide to reelect President Trump, this could actually be the most successful, the most prosperous decade in American history. In an unusual turn of events, the lockdowns could give us an incredible comparative advantage where we could see 6 or 7% growth for next year as well, with that wages going up and God willing, some of the other fundamental trends that we have seen in the last couple of years that have been going in a disturbing trajectory. And so what is Joe Biden's response to the 33.1% GDP growth? He just continues to fearmonger and say, we're heading for a dark winter. President Trump will be victorious or will be defeated based on the issue of whether or not people are willing to put the objective well-being of our country above silly side issues that they have been told matter more than the middle class lifestyle and the American way of life. I think back to Jimmy Carter. One of my dear friends who passed away was Lee Hanley. He was an amazing man. One of my political mentors. He taught me more about politics than almost any other person still that I have met to this day. And he introduced me to Pat Caddell. And Pat was also an awesome, phenomenal guy. He was Jimmy Carter's pollster. And I remember sitting in Palm Beach, Florida, on a sunny day in December, I think it was 2013, 2014, and Pat Caddell told me the story. And Pat had such a fun way about him. And he said, Charlie, you don't understand. We were leading in every single tracking poll against Ronald Reagan until the weekend before the election. And that old Ernest Hemingway quote demonstrated itself in real time. Things were happening gradually, then suddenly. And Pat Caddell, who was Jimmy Carter's pollster, said that weekend before the election, as that last GDP number was announced, that wasn't positive for Carter, and the Iranian hostage scandal was heating up even more over the weekend, Reagan Democrats, people that were registered Democrats that Jimmy Carter thought that he could count on, came out in record numbers because they were looking at voter registration. Early voting wasn't as big of a deal back in the late 70s and early 80s as it is now. But they were looking at some of the early voting data thinking like all these Democrats are going to show up. We're going to be fine. What they didn't calculate is that the Democrats weren't voting for Jimmy Carter. Is that the Democrats were voting for Ronald Reagan. So yeah, Democrats were showing up, but they were Reagan Democrats. Almost that Kennedy-Reagan belt of America. These are middle-class Catholics that shower before work and shower after work. They work with their hands. They're the muscular class of our country. And they, more than any of the other peripheral issues, they want a decent and stable country. And they also want to believe in the economic well-being of the backbone of what they are doing every single day. And it's no different than Biden's winter versus Trump trying to bring us back to an American summer. Jimmy Carter's economic malaise versus Ronald Reagan's morning in America again. The more the president can be positive this day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, smile, dance at the events. Now, some people say these rallies are hurting him with senior citizens. I don't have a good response to that. President Donald Trump is being outspent. President Donald Trump does not have the benefit of the entrenched political elite or the big tech companies. President Donald Trump is not supported by the wealthiest bankers in our country. President Donald Trump does not have the media, and he doesn't have Hollywood. He has no choice but to do these rallies. It is the only political asset that he has left. And it's a pretty good one, by the way, where you can drive turnout, explode enthusiasm, and create a grassroots response and a grassroots firewall against the 1% in our country that seems so determined and adamant to crush you, to crush normal people. And so the United Kingdom, Spain, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, they're all basically police states. In Italy, they're revolting against lockdowns and they are arresting protesters. They don't have a First Amendment in most of Europe. This is from the New York Times. Hundreds of demonstrators in Catania, Milan, Turin, and other cities blocked traffic, set off firecrackers, burned garbage cans, and clashed with the police as they protested the new rules, which ordered bars and restaurants to completely close at 6 p.m., shut all movie theaters and gyms until November 24th. Many protesters chanted freedom, freedom. I just hope Americans hear their call for what we have here. You have a president that has shown hospitalization rates go down, death rates going down, cases are going up, but cases mean nothing. This is the first time in the history of a virus that we are measuring cases, that we are measuring how many people have the virus, not how many people are dying of the virus versus a couple months ago, how many people are suffering because of the lockdowns that we are doing. It's a case-demic that we have in this country. And so you have Europeans that are pointing to America saying, we want freedom, we want freedom. What they're really saying is, don't screw it up like we have, guys. You have a chance. That's what makes President Donald Trump a uniquely American political figure. Joe Biden is a European technocrat. When it really comes down to it, what is one thing that Joe Biden believes that Angela Merkel and Macron don't believe? Globalist institutions, pandering to the ruling class, overemphasizing the Russian conflict while actually taking money from Russia like Joe Biden has, $3.5 million wire from the mayor of Moscow's wife, or Angela Merkel saying Russia is such a big threat while she has a natural gas pipeline right into her country. So there's a choice that we still have. And Joe Biden, I think if properly framed, is a European Union technocrat. He believes in socialist government programming. President Donald Trump believes in a truly American approach to difficulty and problems. Be brave and be wise. What's the European approach? Be cowardly, run to the hills, and ask your leaders, is it safe to come out now? That's what makes our documents, that's what makes our home which is America, so completely different. We don't look to our leaders for guidance. They look to us for guidance. Huge difference. In Europe, they are all subservient to Macron and Merkel. Here, the leaders work for us. And it's actually poetic how this is all coming through. It is. The founding fathers created elections in a decentralized way that you have to win over the constitutional majority, which is a constitutional republic, for moments like this. Go read Federalist 48. Go read Federalist 51, where the founding fathers said clearly, you need a, and I'm using this term, it is what they were saying, a metaphorical pressure release valve to prevent what's happening in Italy and in France, where you have people that are burning down their cities to reopen the country. We have a chance to do it peacefully, where, God willing, tens of millions of Americans will show up and they'll say, we're done with these lockdowns. We're done with being cowardly. We're done with being lied to. We do want our economy back. We want those small businesses to remain vibrant and to remain open and to remain successful. And guess what, Biden? Go back to the EU and go push papers around and sell out our country to Belgium and to Macron and Merkel. It's not going to happen here. Let's play Cut 12, Larry Kudlow. This exceeds all expectations we've ever had. Play tape.
I think it exceeded all expectations. It is a record high, Sandra. Since the data going back to 1947, we've never had anything remotely close to this.
Never had anything remotely close to this. Do you think those are the economic numbers coming out of Europe? Absolutely not. In Europe, they are seeing perpetual lockdowns, economic catastrophe. And what will the result of that be? Well, France, Spain, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Australia, obviously they're not in Europe, but they're in, I would put them in the similar form of economic conditions of Europe. They are going to have to massively expand their welfare state. This is an amazing competitive advantage that America can take right now. If we actually make the decision not to commit an American suicide on Tuesday, we might have the most prosperous, the most exciting, and the most successful decade in American history. 33.1% GDP growth. Now, here's the good news for President Trump. Many of the late-breaking voters, independents, are voting on their number one issue, the economy. This news is nothing but good news for President Donald Trump. And so Joe Biden and the polling class that gives him relentless amount of air support. I went to, and by the way, Nate Silver might be right. I actually take a much more unknown approach to this. There's so much we don't know about this election. My prediction is going to be one thing. It's going to be a guess. It'll be an informed guess, but it's going to be a guess. And we'll publish our official prediction. Actually, we'll probably go through it Monday in the second hour of our program, the day before the election. We'll also walk through it on Tuesday as well. But I went to Nate Silver's website and he said, I'm being generous by giving Donald Trump a 12% chance at victory. He said 12 out of 100 simulations that we have run. And he might be right. However, it's hard for me to reconcile how the economy is the number one issue of late-breaking independent voters, how the economy is Donald Trump's strongest issue, 33.1% GDP. Joe Biden is going around the country saying he's going to raise people's taxes. President Donald Trump is correct when he says, who can possibly win an election saying, I'm going to go raise your taxes in the midst of a recession? It's a very perplexing political strategy. Give me power so I can go take your money away from you that you already don't have. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go destroy the energy sector in this country. And so if Joe Biden wins, it will be because of a combination of forces. It'll be the tech companies that have flexed their muscle and have become the most powerful electoral, political, and cultural institution in our country, which very well might happen. They registered 4 million new voters. They are suppressing conservative voices. They are delisting any sort of contrarian dissident voices that might challenge Joe Biden. The New York Post is still locked out of their account. Meanwhile, the Iranians still have their Twitter account where they say, what's wrong about challenging the legitimacy of the Holocaust? That tweet is still up, by the way. That tweet by the Iranians, Khomeini. I always mispronounce his name. The evil evil totalitarian maniac that runs Iran. Khomeini. That's right. Khomeini. He says, what's wrong with challenging the Holocaust? We'll get the exact tweet up here. And yet the New York Post is still locked out of their account. And so if Donald Trump loses and Joe Biden wins, it'll not be because of Joe Biden. It will be because of a multi-trillion dollar effort, both domestically and abroad and interinstitutionally, that will try to crush normal people to take back their government. That is a path that can happen.
Seeing the check engine light can give anyone anxiety, but that's why I have Car Shield and I don't worry about it anymore. Car Shield is amazing. They offer a wide range of protection plans that can save you thousands for a covered repair, which means that check engine light is a lot less scary when it comes on. You have the freedom to choose your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work, and Car Shield gets the rest taken care of. Even if your car breaks down while you're traveling, the choice of a repair shop is still up to you. On top of that, there's no long-term contracts or commitments. CarShield has helped over 1 million drivers. That's why they're America's number one auto protection company. I used to dread car repairs, but with CarShield, I have a peace of mind. Get coverage today and see why CarShield cars go further. Call 800-655-2157 and mention code Kirk, or visit carshield.com. Use the code Kirk to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Kirk. A deductible may apply.
You'd think that a woman getting on the Supreme Court would be an apolitical moment. The Girl Scouts of America, which has decided to go the way of the Boy Scouts of America and become a completely and totally irrelevant organization, deleted a social media post on its official Twitter and Facebook Wednesday evening after congratulating Amy Coney Barrett on her appointment to the Supreme Court. I'm an Eagle Scout. I'm obviously not, never was involved in the Girl Scouts, but it's a brother sister organization. And the Girl Scouts said, congratulations, Amy Coney Barrett, on becoming the fifth woman appointed to the Supreme Court since its inception in 1789. They have quickly deleted it after backlash, where people such as Representative Ayanna Pressley said, what kind of patch does one earn for uplifting a woman who is the antithesis of justice? Ayanna Pressley, who is a special form of special type of She's a special type of fool. Let's just leave it there. You know exactly what that means. Ayanna Pressley tries to go after the Girl Scouts. Another Twitter user saying a lifetime Girl Scout criticized the post. I already feel uneasy as a trans person in this organization, but now I really understand that this message at Girl Scouts really does not support me or my trans LGBTQ siblings. Right. So then the Girl Scouts deleted it, and they apologized because they dared praise a woman who is a mother of seven to being on the U.S. Supreme Court. She said, the Girl Scouts said, earlier today, we shared a post highlighting the five women who have been appointed to the Supreme Court. It was quickly viewed as political and a partisan statement, which was not our intent, and we removed the post. Girl Scouts of America is a non-political organization, non-partisan organization. We are neither red nor blue, but Girl Scout green. We are here to lift up girls and women. If you're here to lift up girls and women, then you should have probably kept the post up. But this just goes to the deeper point. We talked about this with Douglas Murray on my podcast, and we've talked about this with Larry Elder before. The left, they do not view people as men. They do not view people as women, as gay, as black, if they do not hold their specific political views. For example, you no longer become worthy of applause as a female if you're conservative, because the way they view it, the only reason that someone would be a woman and a conservative is if they hate themselves. That's what they say. There's no black conservatives. Those are self-haters, because leftism and blackism is directly connected. So that's exactly why the Girl Scouts deleted it. And by the way, they were right for tweeting it out. It is a pretty big deal. The fifth woman to the U.S. Supreme Court. I thought that we went through this entire diatribe in the last decade of women's place is in the White House. How about a woman's place is on the Supreme Court? They don't consider her to be a woman worthy of recognition. Why? Because she believes in God, she loves the Constitution, and she isn't a radical Marxist. That's why. Now, if there was a Ruth Bader Ginsburg-esque anti-constitutional activist that was appointed instead of Amy Coney Barrett, Not only would the Good Girl Scouts of America posted it, they would have been applauded for posting it. Same for Planned Parenthood and all these other groups. And what really disappoints me is that the Girl Scouts of America didn't double down on this. What a great opportunity for them to call out the nonsense of Ayanna Pressley and call out the absolute garbage of these other Twitter users and say, okay, you might not like Amy Coney Barrett's politics, but you're fragile and you need to get your act together because she's a mother of seven and a pretty impressive woman who's now on the U.S. Supreme Court. You should be okay with that. And if you don't like her politics, then go work in elections. And we're about the Girl Scouts of America, and this is what girls should attain to try to get to. And this is what really bothers me, is that young women across the country are being told, no, 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 Amy Coney Barrett, that's not someone that you should try to aspire to be. Okay, a mother of seven, graduate number one of Notre Dame Law School, loved by her colleagues, and now on the U.S. Supreme Court. No, 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 you shouldn't try to be her because she has bad politics. And so who's actually trying to infect the pool of progress? Is it conservatives? Or is it the cultural arsonists like Ayanna Pressley? And the Girl Scouts, the fact that they just deleted the tweet and apologized for it just gave so much power to these hostage-taking cultural arsonists. And that's what they do. They take an issue, they hold it hostage. If you don't do this, we're going to protest you. And then they do. And then, of course, they relent to it.
This is the most important election of our lifetime. Our values, our security, and our future are on the ballot. Every American deserves to have their voice heard and their vote counted. So visit yourvote2020.org to find your polling location. Get to the polls, cast your ballot. Visit yourvote2020.org because your voice, your values, your vote have never been more important. Paid for by America First Policies, Inc.
If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved in the fight for freedom on high school and college campuses across the country at tpusa.com/SAS. You guys can sign up to come to our Student Action Summit, our big end of the year event in Palm Beach, Florida. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless. Talk to you soon.